Hello, I'm Randy Clausen, Associate Pastor with St. Catherine's United Mennonite Church. Located in the north end of St. Catherine's, the church seeks to be a people who trust in God and through Jesus Christ to be a community of faith, healing, and hope. For these unusual times of social separation, my colleague, lead pastor Nick Sherman, and I are sharing messages via the internet as a support and comfort for one another. Today's message for Good Friday is entitled, "And So He Died." I invite you to pray with me as we begin. God of grace and mercy, for these days as we long to be together, yet need to keep our distance, provide for our loved ones near and far, and grant us what we need for healing and hope as people of faith. Amen. During these days, we've been experiencing various forms of sacrifice, various forms of suffering, while we pray in hope and anticipation of the day of liberation toward a new life. I recently read, "You can't have a rainbow without the rain." Equally true in the Christian belief of resurrection, we cannot have resurrection without death. The prophet Isaiah foretold of Jesus and his purpose of dying. Isaiah chapter 53. "He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed." Thus far the reading from God's Word. While much of Christian faith focuses on Jesus' power of resurrection with the promise of eternal life, the reality of Christian faith points us to acknowledgement of the power of death, which includes suffering and sacrifice. In memory of Jesus' death on the cross, Christians around the world acknowledge Good Friday. A full reading of today's Bible story is from the Gospel of John, chapters 18 and 19. I invite you to review the entire passage, John 18 and 19, while I share with you from chapter 19, verses 1 to 16. The Gospel reading. "Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and went up to him again and again, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews!' And they slapped him in the face. Once more Pilate came out and said to the Jews gathered there, 'Look, I'm bringing him out to let you know that I find no basis for a charge against him.' When Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and purple robe, Pilate said to them, 'Here is the man.' As soon as the chief priests and their officials saw him, they shouted, 'Crucify! Crucify!' But Pilate answered, 'You take him and crucify him. As for me, I find no basis for a charge against him.' The Jewish leaders insisted, 'We have a law, and according to that law, he must die, because he claimed to be the Son of God.' When Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid, and he went back inside the palace. 'Where do you come from?' he asked Jesus. But Jesus gave him no answer. 'Do you refuse to speak to me?' Pilate said. 'Don't you realize I have power either to free you or to crucify you?' Jesus answered, 'You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin." From then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free, but the Jewish leaders kept shouting, "If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar." When Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out, sat down on the judge's seat at the place known as the stone pavement, which in Aramaic is Gabbatha. It was the day of preparation of Passover. It was about noon. "Here is your king," Pilate said to the Jews. But they shouted, "Take him away! Take him away! Crucify him!" "Shall I crucify your king?" Pilate asked. "We have no king but Caesar," the chief priest answered. Finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. Thus far the reading of the Gospel. As the Roman governor, Pilate encountered Jesus the day following his betrayal by Judas and his arrest by Jewish temple guards under the order of the Pharisees. The Bible story reveals various lines of questioning and debate over authority, which describe for us the complexity of life and who has control over life and death. The political realities at work, which eventually led to Jesus being crucified, strip bare the true character of various people involved in this unfolding drama. The Jewish leaders wanted Jesus and his influence over the people out of the way and dead. So they sent him to Pilate. Governor Pilate finds Jesus mentally amusing, and after having him punished by whipping, Pilate is ready to release him. The religious leaders were not satisfied and appeal to Pilate's judgment because Jesus claimed to be a king, the implication being that Jesus was in competition to Pilate's authority. Upon further questioning, Pilate asks his famous question, "What is truth?" I have a certain appreciation for Pilate. He's caught in a no-win situation. As Roman governor, he has to maintain authority and control of the Jewish territory entrusted to him, and for that he has to work with the Jewish leaders. Jesus has posed a challenge to the Jewish leadership and gathered a significant following which threatens their authority. Turning Jesus over to Pilate, the Jewish leaders seek to avoid ultimate responsibility for Jesus being executed and thereby avoid being the target of anger from the crowds of Jesus' followers. When Pilate refuses to do the bidding of the Jewish leaders, wanting to release Jesus, the intended script begins to fall apart. On four times in the drama, Pilate finds no fault with Jesus and intends to release him. With Pilate refusing to play the game, the religious leaders bow to Pilate's position of Roman authority and show their true character. "We have no king but Caesar," the chief priest answered. Maintaining Roman control, Pilate concedes to their demand for the death of Jesus. Quickly the scene turns to the cross from where Jesus prays, quoting from the Psalms, chapter 22, which includes, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer, by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the one Israel praises. In you our ancestors put their trust. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried out and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. And so he died. In the past days, I and millions of others have felt helpless in our need to maintain social distancing and isolation. Collectively, our community, our country, and most of the world has not felt this vulnerable, this fragile, for nearly a generation. Historically, previous pandemics and wars have caused worldwide upheaval, enormous loss and pain. Like those who have gone on before us, we too have been plunged into a state of unwanted fear. While we know personally or hear the reports of those who have experienced the coronavirus, much of the fear we feel is not the virus itself, but the isolation imposed upon us. While our technology connects us in a variety of ways, we feel the loss of physical connection, simply because we are at heart social beings. With the demand of having to keep our distance, we've been forced into an unwelcomed solitude. Our forced solitude of isolation is like the deep loss we feel at the separation imposed upon us at the death of a loved one. While we each feel grief's pain at some point in life, the immense grief of these days is being experienced by all of us, rich, poor, old, young, urban, rural. No one has escaped the disruption of life as we have known it. With all our normal activities and all our routine pursuits disrupted, where do we find comfort? Where do we find our longing and being community? It may seem a contradiction, yet the 17th century philosopher and mathematician Pascal wrote, "All of humanity's problems stem from our inability to sit quietly in a room alone." These days, many of us are finding ourselves in a room alone. We've lost our place in community. And here, Pascal says, we have lost the art of solitude. When we don't know how to be with ourselves, we panic to fill our days and our moments with distractions. At a time that will be marked in history, we have a significant opportunity to change how we live out our days. Perhaps in brief moments of quiet, we might manage to reflect on what is important in life. We might be able to reduce the noise of the world in order to focus on what is at the core, at the essence of our lives. Could the fear we feel these days be the fear of hearing ourselves? The common distractions we fill our daily lives with allows us to run from our problems, to hide our true emotions, and give us a false impression that all is well. The last time Pilate questioned Jesus was able to remain silent, not because he had nothing to say, but because he knew Pilate was not the ultimate authority of his life. Jesus knew who he was and to whom he belonged. Jesus knew himself out of the time he had spent alone. Jesus was not influenced by the crowds of admirers, nor by the crowds of critics, because while he experienced loneliness, he knew he could trust the one to whom he belonged. For many people, Easter is the annual springtime holiday celebrating bunnies, colorful eggs, and mounds of chocolate. Children learn of Easter as a time of having an Easter egg hunt, searching for chocolate goodies hidden by adults. In a similar manner that the fall season brings Halloween and sends the children out into the neighborhood, knocking on doors in search of candies. Few people are attracted to the celebration of an execution marked by Good Friday. Jesus died, not because he wanted to, but because the world continues to seek distractions that lead away from the God of all creation. Sitting in a room alone, quietly, may be an exercise in emptying one's mind of all the normal clutter that fills one's thoughts. That can be a good thing. Another way to spend isolated time is to reflect on important aspects of life and relationships. I share a few offerings for these days of isolation. Feeling alone on the cross, Jesus recalled and prayed from the Psalms. While there are many prayers of praise in the Psalms, there are even more prayers of lament for troubled times. Turning to the Psalms and praying them may be a way of pouring one's heart out to God while also listening to the still, quiet voice of God. Another suggestion toward listening to God's voice might be to pick a book of the Bible and read through it entirely, perhaps in one sitting. In our typical busy days, we might grab a verse or two, while these days may allow us to feel the scope of God's story of redemption and salvation. Another idea, the cliche, money makes the world go round, might find its counterpart in music, that music makes the heart sing. In a room of quiet time, what are the musical earworms, those songs that float through the mind with words of comfort and cheer? What are the songs of hope that pop up in your mind in the quiet? What can the lyrics communicate for these days for hope? When I have time for quiet reflection, scenes of my life often come to mind. I've been an advocate for people to make a recording, be it written or audio, of their life story. I frequently hear from people that this exercise is something they rarely find time for. Well, this might be the time. Another option on life reflection is to recall the people who have taught you important life lessons. Jotting down who and what these days may also be an opportunity to express appreciation to those people. Send an email, make a phone call, write a letter. These are only a few suggestions for what spending quiet time in a room alone might take. Recalling the events of Good Friday, as you reflect on the image of Jesus dying on the cross, may you experience his forgiveness of your sins. May you experience forgiveness for the things that have distracted you from living life to the full, as God intended. May you find renewal and hope in the peace of Jesus Christ. Share with me in this closing prayer. My God, it seems these days you have abandoned me. As I spend time in isolation, I feel the loneliness while I long for sharing in the lives of others. May my thoughts and reflections of these days give me courage to be grounded in the forgiveness and new life with Jesus, who is, who was, and who is to come. We also pray, O God, for the wisdom of our leaders, those political and our healthcare workers. May you give them grace and mercy and strength for the guidance they provide for all of us to live healthy and well lives. Thank you, God, for this time of sharing together. In Jesus' name, amen.